The reason, just right after he preached that, I said, well, I'll let you do this. I did. I didn't have anything for this evening, and started just kind of looking over some things, and the Lord brought this to my mind, and so I'm going to just try to share some little, it's just a little simple thought with you, nothing new. I have a Genesis chapter number 24. Genesis chapter number 24, and I'll let you keep your seat tonight. We'll do just a little, do a quite a bit of reading, if that's all right, if you'll bear with me on reading to you a Bible story, I guess, just to try to give you the context of the thought this evening. Genesis chapter number 24, and let's start reading. We'll start reading in verse number 29. Let's say 29. And we'll read down through the end of the chapter and try to fill in some of it from there. The Bible says in Genesis 24, verse number 29, and Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well, and it came to pass, when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. And the man, sorry, I got to get this in a better place. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly. And he has become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. He said unto me, the Lord, before whom I walk, will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way. Now shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath when thou comest to my kindred. And if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came this day into the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water. And it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in mine heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder. She went down unto the well and drew water, and I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. She made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands, and I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. They did eat and drink, and he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah their sister and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men, They blessed Rebekah and said unto her, "Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them." And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well of Haran, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, for she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the master had said, "It is my master." The servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself, and the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Father, I thank you for this time and this opportunity. Thank you for this passage of Scripture. And thank you for this open door and opportunity that you presented before me. And I confess openly before you and before those that are here, I can't do a thing without you. I need your touch and need your anointing tonight, Father, to share this in the way that you'd have me to. I pray that you'd bring it to my remembrance. I pray, Father, that you guide my words. And Lord, help me to say that the only that you want said, nothing more, nothing less. And I pray, Father, that it'd be a help to us and a blessing to us, Father, from your precious word, we pray. God, get glory and honor and praise to your precious name. Help your people. And Lord, we'll bow in worthy heads and thank you and praise you for it all. For it's in Jesus' name we do humbly pray. Amen. It's a familiar story to you, Bible readers. This text, this account of Isaac's marriage to Rebekah. And in this text, we see it's not only a historical record, but it's a picture and a type. It's a love story, and it's a picture of salvation. And let me say this evening that salvation is a love story. This text shows us really some of the inner workings, if you'll have it that way, of what happened when we were saved and what happened before that we were saved. So what the text before we read is really is what has happened, and then the servant, what we read is the servant's retelling of what has happened. But Abraham has called his elder servant. This servant is an unnamed servant. We don't find out. We're not told his name. Most people believe that it's probably Eleazar of Damascus, but we don't know. The text doesn't tell us. It's an unnamed servant. And the father has called the servant to ask him to go and get a bride for the son. Yep. I trust that we can draw that spiritual connection there. But just while we're here, let me just say that this also shows us that there is an importance about who that we are to marry. In fact, the matter is, the most important decision you'll ever make in your life is to be saved. The second most important decision that you make, young folks, is who that you'll join up with, who that you'll marry. Because the Bible, it's downplayed in our day, but the Bible makes it very clear that God's plan for marriage is one man and one woman for one lifetime. And I understand that that's not always the norm anymore. In fact, that becomes the exception, it seems like. But that's still God's biblical plan. The fact of the matter is, the Bible tells us that be ye not unequally yoked. It doesn't say you ought not be unequally yoked. It doesn't say you should not. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Do not be unequally yoked. How can two walk together except they be agreed? And so Abraham has, he's got this on his mind. It's an important thing to him who it is that Isaac is going to marry. He does not want him to marry a Canaanite. Right. He does not want Isaac to leave the promised land to go get somebody to bring them back. Right. Let me just say, it's not God's will for you to go out and begin to date somebody that's not in the promised land and try to bring them into the promised land. That's not God's will. But God's will is for the servant to go out. The father has asked the servant to go out and find a bride for the son. I like this, that this is, this is a love story. You say, Brother Perry, marriage is always a love story. There's some interesting things about this love story. Now, marriage in our day ought to be a love story between a man and a woman. Amber and I got married because I fell in love with her and I tricked her. I mean, she loves me, and so we got married.
And it was a love story, and that's the way it's supposed to be. But in these days, it didn't work like that. In fact, what you'll find out is this love story goes much, much further than just two people. Yeah. The fact is, here is a covenant that is being made by the father with the servant on behalf of the son before Rebecca's even in the picture. Amen. See, the love story starts with the fact that the father loves the son, and the son loves the father, and the servant loves the father and the son. Amen. And so that's the way salvation began. It was a covenant between the Godhead. Thank God somebody said God fought it, that Jesus Christ bought it, and the Holy Ghost wrought it. Somebody said the blood bought it. Thank God Satan fought it. Amen. Love sought it. Amen. And blessed is the one who can say, I've got it. And that's what salvation is. It's a love story. But it didn't begin with you loving God. We here in His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. Thank God the love story didn't begin. Thank God when you decided to go with Him. But the fact of the matter is, long before Rebecca knew anything about this man named Isaac, there had already been a covenant made. Abraham called that servant and he said, I'm going to send you out to get a bride for my son. Thank God, and that's exactly what God the Father did. Thank God in eternity past, is He said, I'm going to send forth my servant. My son's going to go down and he's going to pay for a bride. And I'm going to send the servant. The servant's going to go out and find that bride. He's going to seek that one that'll go with him, and he's going to draw her to my son. And that's the way salvation worked. Thank God, is that God loved us before the foundation of the world and decided, thank God, before you ever decided to go with him, he was deciding to seek after you, to draw you, bring you to himself, that he might present a bride to his son. Thank God.
So that's what we see. We see in this covenant, we see not only God's foreknowledge before the foundation of the world, but we also see man's responsibility.
You're right.
Because the servant said, well, peradventure the woman won't go with me.
Uh-huh.
He said, if she don't go with you, then you're loose from my oath.
Exactly.
In other words, if she don't want to go, you ain't going to make her go.
That's it.
He said, well, what if she won't go with me? He says, the Lord before whom I walk will go before you.
Yeah.
In other words, Brother Stanley, he's saying, servant, if the Lord don't convince her, you ain't going to convince her. Amen. If the Lord don't do the convincing, you might do some persuading, but you ain't going to convince them.
No.
Amen. It is our duty to persuade men.
Yeah.
Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We beseech you on God's behalf, be reconciled to the Lord. But I'm telling you, you can talk till you're blue in the face. You can read that Bible till your eyes can't see straight anymore. But unless God begins to work on their hearts, unless God begins to deal with their hearts, there will be no conviction.
You're
and
right.
Without any conviction, there'll be no conversion. It takes the Lord going before you. You say, how does that work? Well, you get down on your knees and you begin to talk to the Father.
Yep.
You get down on your knees and you begin to talk to the servant and beg and plead that He will go before you and do the convincing work that you can't do.
Amen, brother. That's good.
Prayed with a young man a couple months ago. Brother Stanley, I talked with him for hours, literally for hours, standing out in his driveway. Talked to him and talked to him and talked to him. And he had an answer and he had a question and he had an objection. And just with the Lord's help, I did my best to answer all his objections.
Yeah.
And I said, all right, well, let's just pray. I said, I'm going to tell you how I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that God convicts your heart in a way that you know it's Him.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it wasn't nothing I'd done,
no.
Brother Joe. I prayed with that young man.
Yeah.
And by about the time, about like this servant, before I was done speaking, this servant, he goes to the well.
Yep.
I'm going to get back to that. I'm going to finish that. I just want to illustrate it. But when he gets to the well, before Rebecca ever shows up, he prays and asks God's guidance, that God would direct him to the right one. But he doesn't just ask it
generally, but he prays specifically. He says, the woman that comes, he says, and I ask her to give me a drink, and she says, I will give you a drink, and I will give your camels drink also. Let that be the one whom the Lord has chosen. Understand, that is not some, this is not some common thing. She, you read that, it says that she came up out of the well. She didn't walk up to that thing and pump and prime and it start pouring out. She didn't walk up to that thing and let a bucket down in there and draw it out. She went down with a pitcher on her shoulder and she walked down steps down into the water to draw up a pitcher full of water, put it up on her shoulder, and walk back up the steps. And she got up to the top of the steps and he said, can I have a drink of that? She gives him a drink. She says, I'm not only going to give you a drink, but I'm going to give your camels drink. Until they're done drinking. Says that he went out with 10 camels. I looked it up before I came over here. They say a typical camel can drink 53 gallons of water in 3 minutes. She said, I'm going to draw out water for your 10 camels until they're done drinking. Until they're satisfied. Amen. No wonder that servant got down and began to worship. He said, surely this has got to be the one. Amen. He prayed specifically, and God specifically answered that prayer. I prayed with this young man, and I said, Lord, you're going to have to show him. You're going to have to deal with him in a way that he knows it has got to be you. And about the time I said amen, he said, oh, what is that? I said, what? He said, man, I don't know, I feel something. I said, I didn't do that to you. I've been talking all this time, and I didn't do that to you. God did that to you, and God made it so real to that young man. He could not deny the fact that God was dealing with his heart. And that young man bowed that night. Thank God, after a long time, he bowed that night and asked the Lord to save him. Hey, I'm telling you tonight, thank God, God is able to reach down and prick a heart where nobody else can. I sat under good gospel preaching for 16 years, but thank God, one Sunday night, thank God, the blessed Holy Ghost of God reached down and did what those preachers couldn't do and began to prick my heart and say, Perry, this is for you. And I'm glad, thank God, for the good Holy Ghost that pointed me out. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. He says, the Lord before whom I walk, he's going to go forward before you, and he's going to prosper your journey. Goes down there, he prays, sees the answer to that prayer, begins to worship the Lord. The Bible says he put an earring on her ear and a bracelet on her hand. He begins to pray and worship God. She goes back, she tells Laban what's happened. Laban comes out and he makes room for the servant at his house and provision for his camels, provision for his men. And the servant, I like this about the servant. He says, before we do anything, let me tell you about my master. Let me tell you about his son. You know, that's the way that the servant does. By the way, the servant is a picture of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost don't ever go around bragging about the Holy Ghost. But all the Holy Ghost wants to talk about is the Son and the Father. And he said, before we do anything, let me tell you about my master. Let me tell you about his son. Let me tell you what I'm here to do. Amen. He begins to tell him. He says, my master has been blessed. God has blessed him greatly. He's become great. Then he says this in verse number 36. He says, and Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he had. Unto the son, the father has given all the inheritance. He says, now he sent me out to find for him a bride. And he says, I found Rebekah. And he says, this is what God has done. And Laban and Bethuel say, well, if this is of God, we can't say anything against it. Let her go. He worships again, and then he stays there that night. Rises up early in the morning. He says, all right, now you see that the Lord has prospered my journey. Let us go. And the family says, well, don't go now. Let her abide for a few days. At the least 10. Now, when I was growing up, Brother Joe, a few meant About three. And they said, let her abide a few days. At the least, let her abide 10. And I'm telling you, once you decide that you're going to go with God, there's going to be some folks that are going to withstand you. Just back off just a little bit. Don't be so hasty. Don't be so hasty about serving God. Don't get so on fire. Don't get so worked up. I mean, after all, you don't want to be thought a fanatic.
Yeah.
You don't want to be thought one of them holy rollers. Just back off a little bit. At the least 10. Just take a few steps back. At least take 10. Take it back here. Wait, way back here. They'll ask for just a little bit. And you give just a little bit and they'll ask for a whole lot. He says, let her abide. He says, no. God's prospered my journey.
Yeah.
Don't hinder me. And they say this. They say, we will call the damsel,
yeah, come on,
brother. And we will inquire at her mouth.
I like that.
In other words, we can't answer for her.
Now,
we can't answer for her.
No.
She's going to have to answer for herself. Man, and I got two little ones back here, Brother Calvin, that I wish I could answer for.
Yeah.
I wish I could tell God, they're going with you.
Yeah.
They're going to have to answer for themselves.
Salvation
is a personal thing, by the way.
Sure it is.
They had already given the servant the go-ahead.
Yeah.
But Rebecca had to answer for herself. Let me just tell you, if you hadn't answered yet, when he says, will you go with him? Go ahead and answer, I will go.
Yes, sir.
She says, I will go. The servant goes and he gives some gifts to the family, and then he takes some more of those precious jewels and puts them on her wrists, earrings on her ears, and they set off on their journey. They're headed back to Canaan. It's some 500 miles back in a caravan of camels. Most say that would take probably about 20 to 30 days riding on a camel. Here comes this little woman who's just decided to marry up with somebody she never has seen. But the servants told her about it.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
The servant he's given her a taste of the riches of the son.
Mm-hmm.
He's given her just a little bit of what the son has to offer. But he says, all that the father has been given to the son. And here's a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And here's a little bit.
Yeah.
Here's just some jewels just to let you know it's going to be worth it. And I'm telling you, thank God, in August of 2003, the servant came by my way and asked me if I'd marry up with this man. Amen. Asked me if I would marry up with this man called Jesus. And I said, I ain't never seen him before. I don't know anything about him. And the servant began to tell me some things, Brother Thomas, about the son. And he started giving me a glimpse and a taste of what the son had to offer. And then he said, this is just a little bit. This is just a drop in the bucket. This is just a foretaste. This is just a sample of what the son has and is at his disposal. And you understand, thank God, when two are married, they're no longer two, but they're one. When you marry up with him, thank God, all that he has becomes yours. All that he's inheriting becomes your inheritance. Thank God, I'm glad to know tonight that though I've not seen him, Peter said, yet you love him anyway. And because you love him, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So this servant, this woman, Rebecca, takes off with the servant, heads off on this journey riding 20 to 30 days on a camel. And I imagine that there were times when it was not so pleasant. I imagine there were times when the way got a little rough. I mean, you're riding on a camel. We're not talking about riding in Brother James's Cadillac. We're talking about a camel. 20 to 30 days sleeping out in the night, sleeping out in the elements. And I just imagine that she got a little tired. I imagine that she got, Brother Michael, a little bit discouraged. I imagine along the way, maybe one of those maidens that she brought with her slipped around by her and said, "Are you sure about this? Are you sure that you need to keep going this way? Are you sure that what you think is waiting on you is waiting on you?" And she's saying, "I'm just going by what the servant said. I'm just trusting in what the servant's told me. I'm just going based off of what he's told me about his master." And I'm telling you, thank God, along this way, there becomes times when I get discouraged. There becomes times when I get a little bit downtrodden. There's times when I get a little bit tired. And Miss Krista, I think, what am I doing? What is the use? Amen. I might as well just quit. I might as well just turn around and go back to the house. And I just imagine that Rebecca's been thinking that. And I can just see it as she's riding next to the camel that the servant is on. Amen. Yeah. And I believe the servant can see it on her face. And he looks over at her. He says, "By the way, let me tell you a little more about Isaac. Amen. Let me just tell you about how good looking he is. Let me just tell you, thank God, about what he does. Let me just tell you about the work that he puts in. Let me just tell you about the love that he shows." Every once in a while, Brother Thomas, as she begins to get discouraged and thinks about what all she's left behind, I can just imagine, Brother Joe, that servant reaches over and takes her hand and slips another bracelet on. Hallelujah. Thank God. Reaches over and puts another necklace around the neck and says, "Here's just another token of what my master has waiting on you." And I'm telling you, thank God, there's been times in my life when I felt like, thank God, I just need to quit and just need to stop, just need to go to the house. And thank God the good Holy Ghost comes alongside of me and sees it written all over my face and says, "Let me just give you another little piece of what my master has to offer. Let me just give you another taste of what's waiting on you. Let me just give you, thank God, just another little token to let you know that it is going to be worth it when you get to the end of this journey."
Amen, brother.
So she goes on in this journey, and the servant's helping her right along. Thank God for the good Holy Ghost. Thank God that Jesus said, "I go away, but if I go away, I'll not leave you comfortless." Thank God he said, "If I go, I will come to you." And God, he said, I'll not leave you comfortless, but I will send you a comforter. One that will come alongside of you. One that will come along and help you. One that will come along and strengthen you. And I'm telling you, thank God, in the deepest, darkest days on this journey, I'm telling you, thank God, if I can just be a mouthpiece of the servant tonight and tell you, thank God, that God's got more waiting on you. God's got more for you. It's going to be worth it at the end of this journey. Just keep pressing on, dear child of God, just keep pressing on, dear pilgrim, because it's going to be worth it after a while.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
That's right.
Ain't you glad for times, amen, like last Sunday morning, when God slips in this place and just puts another bracelet on your hand? Amen. Ain't you glad, thank God, for times when God shows up at church and just gives you another taste, amen, of what heaven's going to be like? Ain't you just glad, thank God, when God slips around you, when you're all by yourself and you're just sitting there, amen, just you and your thoughts, and Satan has discouraged you and Satan has tempted you, and God shows up and says, "It's going to be worth it. Just carry on, child of God."
Amen.
And that's what this servant's doing for Rebecca. The Bible says that as they went, verse number 62, "And Isaac came from the way of the well of Hera, for he dwelt in the south country." If you'll start back at Genesis 22 and read on till we get to this text, you'll find out Isaac has not shown up anywhere else. The last time we saw Isaac was when he was laid on an altar about to be sacrificed by his father. The last time we saw Isaac, his life was being laid down, but he took it back up again. But then he disappears off the pages of Scripture until right here at the end of Rebecca's journey.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
And we don't see him at his house.
No.
We don't see him at his house,
no.
And he didn't go get her.
No, sir.
But he stepped out from his place. He came from the way Lahaira.
Yep.
He's walking toward Rebekah.
That's it. Yep. That's
said he went out into the field to meditate. To think. I wonder what he's thinking about. If Martin Wright had left out on a journey a month ago to go get me a bride, I can promise you I know what I'd be thinking about. Hey, man, I'd be thinking about what's this he's going to bring back. I'd be thinking about there's something coming down the line. Hey, man, hey, there's a bride.
Yep.
There's a bride on her way. Thank God to see me. I can promise you. Yeah. I would not be thinking, amen, about anything but my bride.
You're right, brother.
Amen. Psalm 40:17, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh on me. I can just imagine, Brother Joe.
Yeah.
Amen. As she has started this journey and she's having trouble, he's sitting over there and God at the place where he went back to, the place where he ascended to. Thank God after he resurrected from the altar. Amen. And he's thinking about that bride.
Now
I can tell you tonight, thank God, as he is up in heaven, ascended to the right hand of the Father, and you and I feel like we ain't gonna make it along this way. I promise you tonight, he ain't worried about the stars falling out of the heavens. He's not worried about the earth losing gravitational pull. He's not worried about, thank God, the earth spinning off its orbit. He's thinking about you, and he's thinking about you, and he's thinking about you and you. Thank God he's thinking about me. He's thinking about the bride, amen. His mind, my mind is sometimes a million miles away from where it ought to be on him. But I'm telling you, his mind is always on me.
You're right, brother.
Yet the Lord thinketh. That's a continuation. Thinketh upon me. The disciples were on a ship. Jesus sent them into a ship and sent them out to sea. And the Bible says he went up to a mountain to pray. Amen. In the fourth watch of the night, I think it was. Amen. A storm came up on the sea. And the Bible says he saw them, Brother Joe Mack, toiling and rowing. Yeah. All they know is that they're in the middle of a storm. All that they know, they're in the midst of the sea. And with all the strength they have, they're toiling, trying to keep the boat afloat, just trying to get it to one way or the other. Don't even know where they're at. They just know that, thank God, everything is dark around them and everything's storming around them and they're in a mess. But the Bible says that he saw them. They didn't see him, but he saw them toiling and rowing. And at the fourth watch of the night, then came Jesus walking upon the water to go to them. Hey God, and that's what Isaac is doing. He's sitting there in the middle of that field, and he's thinking about that bride that's on her way, on her journey to get to where he's at.
Yeah, man.
It says that he stepped out from his place. And we know that she left her place and they met in a field. Now, I don't know how we're going to get from here to yonder. I know the Bible says we're going to be called away. But you understand, the Spirit went and got her from her place to meet him in a place in between. Amen. And the Bible says, thank God, that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Thank God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. He's stepping out from his place. We're leaving out from our place. And we're going to meet up, thank God, in a place in between, at a place in the air. And we're going to meet up with the darling son. Thank God, the one that's been up there thinking about us. Thank God, the one that's sent the servant back to get us. Thank God that we're going to meet him in the air. She sees him coming. Ain't you glad one of these days we're going to hear a shout and we're going to lift up our eyes and we're going to see him coming. Thank God. And we're going to meet up with him in the air.
Amen, brother.
So shall we ever be with the Lord.
You're right.
Bless his name. Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel.
Brother Toby Power said she didn't light up a camel. She lighted off the camel. You look up that word lighted, it don't mean she descended gracefully. It means she fell. She fell off prostrate. Prostrate is what that, not prostate, prostrate. That's an important R right there. She fell all over herself when she saw Isaac.
Yep.
He saw her in the beauty, all decked out in what had been given to her.
That's good.
The Bible says that he gave her raiment and jewels.
Yep.
So I just imagine Abraham and Isaac didn't have any woman's clothes.
No.
But Sarah has died.
Oh, yeah.
So I just imagine that what the servant brought to her as raiment was Sarah's clothes.
Yeah.
And she has been made beautiful. She's a fair virgin, it says. She's a good-looking girl.
Yeah.
But that ain't what Isaac's seeing.
No,
Isaac sees her clothed in the clothing that she has been given and the jewels that she has been given. The Bible tells us that it has been given to us to wear robes of white. You understand, when we go to meet Isaac, we ain't going in these clothes. We ain't going in these rags. But Miss Krista, he's going to give us a new set of clothes, and they're going to be white. Thank God that white is spotless purity.
Yeah,
that white is righteousness, and it's given to us. It ain't our righteousness.
No.
It's a righteousness that's been imputed to us. It's a righteousness that's been given to us that we can put on, that we didn't purchase, we didn't buy, but it was bought by the Son. Thank God, and it's His righteousness. Thank God, I'm glad we're going to be clothed. We're going to be beautiful in His sight. Because he made us beautiful in his righteousness, in the jewels, in all the crowns that he has given to us. And when he sees us, thank God, it will be what he's given to us that we could put on to be pleasing in his sight.
That's right.
What she didn't know is that all along that way, as that servant slipping bracelets and jewels upon her, he's making her beautiful for the master.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, thank God, all along the way, that trial of our faith, which is much more precious than of gold, thank God what that is that he's making us beautiful and pleasing in his sight all along this way.
Amen.
That the further along the way I get, Brother Joe, the more beautiful I get in his sight. Amen. He's going to present us spotless, blameless, holy in his sight. Thank God when we get up there, I'm not going to be holy and blameless in my own right, but I'm going to be holy and blameless and spotless in the righteousness that he's clothed me with. And when I get to the end of the journey, when he has conformed me to the image of his Son, thank God, and I appear before my heavenly Isaac, when he looks upon me, he's going to see me in the beauty of his righteousness, in the beauty of what he has done to make me well pleasing to the master.
Amen.
But like this, it says that when she saw Isaac, she lighted off her camel, for she had said to the master, she had said to the master, or to the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. She sees Isaac. But Joe, she don't see what Isaac has. She's not seen his tent yet. Brother Thomas, she's not seen his dwelling place. She sees Isaac, and it's enough for her to fall off her camel.
Oh, yeah.
She sees Isaac and falls head over heels. She sees Isaac and says, "What man is this?" And the servant said, "That's him." There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And I'm telling you tonight, thank God, when we meet him in the clouds, we're going to look at him and we're going to say, "What man is this?"
Amen. And Brother Joe, we're going to fall at our feet, fall at his feet. And it ain't going to be because of streets of gold or walls of jasper or gates of pearl. It ain't going to be because of mansions. It ain't going to be because of a river of life. It ain't going to be because of a tree of life. But it's going to be because we see him.
Amen. Amen.
When we see him, it's going to be enough to knock us off our feet. When we see him, it's going to be enough to make us fall head over heels. When we see him, it's going to be enough to make us fall at his feet and worship him for who he is. It ain't about what he's got. It ain't about what we're getting. It's all about him. Thank God. It's all about the one that bought us. It's all about the one that sent for us. It's all about the one that saved us, called us out of that country that we used to be in. Thank God, and brought us to a place to be with him and dwell with him forevermore.
Amen.
I'm telling you, amen. Oh, bless his name. I got a precious dad that 11 years ago today, on a Sunday like this, on Sunday, December the 9th, like this, went home to be with the Lord. And I draw strength from the fact that he's there and I know I'll see him again. I draw strength from that. We sung this morning, what a day that will be. And Miss Nadine and Brother Gary were sitting back there and I watched them. And there was a sense of hurt on them, but also a sense of peace and joy on them. And I got to thinking, Brother Stanley, that wasn't just hope song. That's the song of hope. What a day that will be.
Amen.
Thank God we're gonna see him again. I draw strength from that. I draw help from that. But I'm telling you, before I grab my daddy by the neck and hug his neck, I'm telling you, before I go looking for a mansion that's been prepared for me, I'm telling you, before I go looking up Isaac, before I go looking up Isaiah and Jacob, before I go looking up Peter and Paul, before I go looking up these great saints, thank God I'm going to lay my eyes on him.
Amen.
Oh, bless his name. Oh, we sung it this morning, because he lives. And I can just imagine that's exactly what Job was thinking as he's going through his trials. And he says, I don't know what all this is, but I tell you one thing, I know my Redeemer lives, thank God, and I know that he'll stand at the latter day upon the earth, and mine eyes shall behold him. I'll not see him for another, but I'll see him for myself. Thank God. That's exact. 1 John chapter number 3, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Amen.
I'm telling you, thank God, once our eyes fall upon the face of our darling Savior, amen, it ain't going to be about streets of gold. It ain't going to be about shaking Bear Bryant's hand or sitting down and talking to Peter and asking about the day of Pentecost. But thank God, when we lay our eyes upon the darling Son of God, we'll fall at his feet and worship him.
Amen.
For who he is.
Amen.
Amen. She falls all over herself just because of who he is. Amen. And in the midst of that, this trial, in the midst of that storm that you're in the midst of the journey that you're in, I'm just telling you, thank God, what's happening to you is God's making you beautiful and acceptable and well-pleasing in his sight through his righteousness. He's working in you. So that when he sees you, he'll see you as beautiful. But when you see him, we'll behold him in all his glory.
Oh, yeah.
John 17, Jesus said, I would that thou hast given me be with me also where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Thank God, when we get there, Miss Teresa, we're going to behold him in all his glory. We're going to behold him in all his splendor. We're going to behold him in all his majesty. And we're going to fall at his feet. Thank God, I don't love him like I ought to. Brother Joe preached that to my heart last Sunday. Thank God, and I'm trying and I'm striving, but I'm telling you, thank God, when my eyes behold him, amen, there'll be all other loves will flee, all other lusts will flee, all other things that would distract from my attention to the darling Son of God will flee away when my eyes strike his face. Thank God, all of that will be gone, and I'll fall at his feet and worship him for who he is.
Amen.
The servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife.
and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. I imagine there was some apprehension on her face. I imagine there was some anxiety in her heart. She fell on her face. The Bible says she took her veil and she covered herself. It's a sign of humility, a sign of submission. She bowed humbly at his feet. I'm just imagining, Brother Joe, she's bowed at his feet. She's wondering, I wonder what he's going to think about me. I've been learning all about him on my way to him, but I wonder what he's going to think about me. I wonder if he's going to accept me. I wonder if I'm going to be pleasing to him. The Bible says that he took her. The servant told him all things that had happened. And Isaac took her to his tent, and she became his wife. The bride that the servant had went and got was pleasing to the son. And the son accepted her and married her. And Brother Stanley, there's coming a wedding feast.
Oh, yeah.
There's coming a wedding day.
Yeah.
When God is going to tell his son, go get your bride.
Yeah.
And we're going to meet up with him.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm telling you, we've been hearing about him. I wonder if he knows about us. Oh, he knows about us. He knows about us. And he's going to welcome us in and accept us, Brother Thomas, and marry us. That's that covenant. And the bride that the Father has given to the Son will be pleased with, will accept, and there'll be a marriage feast. It'll be a celebration. And at the time of that marriage, at the point of that marriage, all that Isaac had became Rebekah's. She became an heir to every bit of it. She was happy with the taste. I'm telling you, I've been enjoying just tasting what he has. The earnest that's given to us, the Spirit, was the earnest of our inheritance. That's that engagement ring, if you'll have it that way. A token that the marriage will be completed, that the promise will be fulfilled. And I've been walking around, Brother Joe, with that engagement ring on.
Oh, yeah.
Not outwardly, but inwardly. Now, let me say this. You get it inwardly, it's going to show outwardly at some point. I've been walking around, Brother Ed, with the earnest of my inheritance.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you, I've been enjoying it.
Oh, yeah.
But when that marriage is complete,
oh, yeah,
all that the Son has, I read it to you this morning, 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Ain't God, who he has kept, who has been kept by the power of God, there's an inheritance waiting on me, reserved for me, so that when I get to the end of this journey, all that heaven holds will be mine. And I've just stopped by this evening just to try to be a mouthpiece of the servants, just to tell you, hey, it's going to be worth it. I know this camel ride gets a little rough.
Yep.
I know the journey gets a little long. I know you've been saved for many years. Ain't God, and I know there's some that haven't been saved quite so long, but I'm telling you, your journey seems just as hard to you as it seems to others. But I'm telling you, thank God, it will be worth it in the end. Thank God when we behold his face and we see him in his glory. And we'll fall at his feet and worship him. I'm thankful for the love story.
Amen,
thankful that the Father loved the Son, and the servant loved the Father and the Son, and the Son loved the bride. I'm part of that bride. He loved me and gave himself for me. I might be a part of his bride. I bless his name for it tonight. Brother Joe, I'm done.
Can I give a verse of song?